Welcome, love, to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, faith-based and devotional leadership mentor for women who are inspired to bring love where it hasn't gone before. Inside this space, you'll find courageous conversations on restoring your relationship with God, emboldening your faith, healing with the masculine, and resurrecting your cherished feminine essence. I'm so grateful to have your heartbeat here. Let's dive in. Hi, beauty. Welcome back to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, and I am just beyond excited, elated, delighted, just filled with so much joy to sit down today for a conversation with one of my dearest sisters, one of my closest friends, one of my truest sisters in Christ, and really one of the ones who just dances in the mystery with me in relationship with God. And that is Natalie Torres. And Nat, I don't even know where to start, to be honest, because we have just developed such a beautiful sisterhood and friendship over the last year plus. And Natalie is just an amazing teacher, you know, on the heart, the body, the womb, really supporting women and coming into deeper communion with God and with Christ, and also union in all forms, both internally and externally with the masculine. And Natalie, it's just a highly mystically coded, kingdom coded, devotionally coded being. And I feel Natalie and I have just grown to be such close friends because this mystical remembrance of union with God has been so threaded in both of our hearts. And we can just go to all of the realms and all of the dimensions together. And I know this conversation, it's just going to go deep. It will be expansive and wide and beautiful to support all of you listening. And Natalie and I just have a lot of fun together. So it feels like, a real treat and treasure to bring you all deeper into our friendship and the conversations that we have all of the time off recording, and to bring it forward here for you all. So Nat, I'm just so grateful. I love you so much. And I just can't wait to dive in and really see where God wants to take this conversation.
Thank you, Nina, for having me. I was getting a little emotional in that intro because I can already feel just like the spirit moving through this space and perhaps like the ripples and impact that our little co-weaving is going to have on the field. So I just want to say thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is just like truly so fun. And Nat, I would love for you to just share, this is something I ask pretty much all of the guests, is just sharing some of your own personal journey and coming home to God's heart and what that process has looked like for you and what your current communion looks like with him and how he supports you in your life.
Well, right now I'm really loving that song called Before and After. Since you sent it to me like a couple months ago. And it's just kind of taken me on this journey of like what my life has been like before returning to God's love and now after. And, you know, I grew up as a very like sensitive, like heart opened child, as many of us did. And I grew up in a household where my mom was just, she is such a devotional woman. Like I am a byproduct of that woman. Like I would wake up and she's on her knees in prayer, reading the Bible, cooking us breakfast with, you know, worship music on. I would go to her Bible studies with her and her friends and just like witness them. And I was kind of always in this like energy field of Christ's love. And I'm just so grateful to have had that experience because, you know, my path has actually been quite dark before I fully gave my heart and soul to Jesus. And it's almost like I had to experience the complete opposite of union to then be able to walk the path of union. And for me, what that's looked like is at age 4, I was raped, and I kind of like danced back and forth between like so much union with God, even at the age of 4. Like I made my mom get me baptized at 5. Like I would really feel the presence of angels and just feel God essentially. But then I'd also get pulled into so much separation and fear and shame. And it was a bit of a dance. And it had like I had another sexual trauma happen around like age 17 where I got blackout drunk and I was essentially like taken by a man at a party. He took my car and he also raped me. And then it happened at 24. I was roofied. And so I kind of had like repetitive sexual trauma throughout my path. Yeah, the one that happened at age 17 caused me to fully devote to separation consciousness, essentially.
Totally.
I just started drinking a lot, totally not letting love near me. Like if my friends got too loving, I would get really scared and push them away. And I worked in the fashion industry for like 15 years, which in one way was kind of like a lighthouse because it gave me something to work towards, but at the same time it also fed that separation consciousness. So like that instance that happened at 24 when I was roofied was such a wake-up call for me. For a couple years it caused me to turn my back even harder on God and my light. But then it's like I couldn't turn my back. Like Christ just kept seeking me out. I just felt like when I would do mushrooms, Jesus would appear. I'd get in an Uber. There'd be some type of Jesus, like coincidence or not coincidence, but synchronicity. And it just was like time after time, like him just seeking out my heart. And going back to that song, Before and After, I mean, now I'm just so blown away by what is possible when we come back to love, when we come back to God. Because like, I mean, I could just cry right now. It's like God's love really and truly can take us from feeling so shattered and like so lost and so afraid to fully living our purpose, attracting love, having financial, consistent abundance, to, peace in our family, peace in our friendships, like all the things that we want, God can give us that. And there's just no darkness that can take us away from that. And, I really want to be a voice for that for women.
Amen. Nat, thank you for sharing. Yeah, just the depth and vulnerability of your story. I could feel, parts and pieces of my own and what you shared and expressed, and just how goodness, we've all been impacted by the consciousness of separation in some shape, degree, expression in our life. And yeah, it's always so wild, not when we talk, because I just feel so many synchronicities of, having that like full communion with God as a child and just being cloaked in the love of Christ and then experiencing things. I haven't uncovered the details of my own sexual trauma, but it's there in my past, and just feeling how that perpetuated this shame consciousness in my system. And then, for years, sought my worth and my wholeness out in relationships with men, and really now can see where I was just seeking the truth of love and being wrapped in that love that I knew as a little girl, but it had felt so far for many years. And I didn't know how to return to that gnosis that I held in my heart when I was a child. And I just love how you express, God is just constantly pursuing our hearts. He is relentless in his pursuit. And it's not in a forceful way, but it's just in this relentlessly faithful way, just constantly showing up for the walk as he does, as he always has since the Garden of Eden, right? He was not the one who separated himself from Adam and Eve. He showed up for that walk, crying out, calling out, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" And that's exactly what he does for us, right? Just reaching endlessly for our hearts and just waiting with open arms for us to turn and be wrapped in his embrace of grace. And something, the before and after thing has been so alive in my field too, from that song. And then also, yeah, just kind of sitting in the revelation of, yeah, my life before and my life after and feeling. And I know that this is something that Bill Johnson says, who Natalie and I both really, really appreciate and love as a pastor. But he says, you know, Jesus is a one-step process from darkness into marvelous light. Like truly, he is the light and the love that goes beyond understanding, and his light can overwhelm any darkness we are facing and dealing with in our lives. And for me too, it was like when I had that baptism with the Holy Spirit, I mean, just a complete transformation and transfiguration. It was like all of the shame, the separation, the guilt, the heaviness was just washed and dissolved off of me as I just let myself come into my wholeness by way of God's grace and by way of the greatness of his love. And it wasn't this like even multi-step process for me. It was almost like blinking my eyes, snapping fingers, and not to say, you know, I didn't then still have hooks that needed to be unraveled in the process, but it really was this renewal, this redemption, this regeneration, like truly being co-crucified and co-resurrected in Christ and really being co-glorified with him as we really just let ourselves open to the truth in the full frequency of his love. And I would love to hear, Natalie, yeah, like some of that process for you of like really letting that separation wash and like, you know, kind of come off of you so that you could be fully anchored and tethered into, you know, what we call and what our pastor Damon calls beloved identity, you know, this truth and gnosis of inherent worth and wholeness and belonging as we know the love that we are and the love that we belong to.
Yeah, for me, it like I wish I could say it felt like fast or like overnight, but for me, it's felt like this like ongoing cleansing and washing. And I'm actually about to write a post that is goes like the ongoing, or not the ongoing, the uncompromising love of God leaves no parts of us behind.
Yes.
Like he's constantly seeking us out. And so I felt like so overtly sought out in my 20s, but now it's like I'm getting sought out in these really like subtle ways. So like the parts of me that feel like really like not enough around my partner, like even like the most subtle little threads of like, oh, I feel like my body isn't sexy and like I want to like wear a potato sack around him. Like even like those parts of me are getting illuminated, and or like where, you know, I feel like I don't have anything to bring to a conversation and I get really shy and like quiet. It's like all these little threads are slowly getting washed and cleansed in this beloved identity. But I'll just kind of bring it back to like the like from the deeper traumas, like when I was like more saturated and like that separation consciousness. Ooh, yeah, for me it really looks like being almost like overwhelmed by the love of God, and like so much that I would like touch it and then like run away, and like touch it and run away, or like God would reveal to me how like special and like cherished I am. And it would like my nervous system couldn't hold it because my nervous system was just so programmed in that separation and earning consciousness that there's just no way that I could believe or get on board with, or even like on a somatic level that I could not have to strive for love or not have to strive for money. So like, I just would like touch it and run away, touch it and run away. And eventually it's like my nervous system kind of got titrated enough, or I titrated enough to be able to like fully rest and descend into that love. But I mean, it was like a dance for many years. And like, you know, my mom just kind of held this pillar for me this whole time. She's like, you have a calling on your life. Like, you know, you are a child of Christ. Like there was just no, like I would tell her about like these big experiences with like plant medicines and, or like workshops or things I'm learning in like the more like self-development new age space. And she'd be like, yeah, that's cool. You could have just like sat in God's presence. Like, you know, she's always just like this pillar of like, I'll accept you where you're at, but like, you're making it a lot harder than you needed, than it needs to be.
Yeah. Preach, Cindy.
So, yeah, like I said, for many years, it looked like a dance of touching it. And then eventually I was finally able to rest in it, but it was always there. Like when I look back at my content, I was like saying the same things, but using like new age words.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Yeah. And I love that you brought this up because it like really is that widening, that dilation to really expand our capacity to hold the bigness of God's love. Cause yeah, I remember many moments too, where, I mean, I had a really profound encounter with God and Christ through the Holy Spirit that really did bring me to a before and after, like a really big change. And then it was after that, though, just feeling that overwhelming frequency of love, because it is so big, so vast, so wide, so deep. And I could feel too, like following that encounter, where my body would still, yeah, resist and kind of reject the full penetration of it, because it was just unlike anything I had ever known before. And I feel a lot of women express this to me. I'm sure they do to you too, Natalie. Like when we haven't been in the safety of what it's like to hold and be held in that love, it is, there's a beautiful titration and widening that happens. And for a long time too, and actually now my prayer has actually come back to this as I'm learning to hold more of God's power and authority and glory is, yeah, God, widen my capacity to hold more of your love. Like really show me what it's like to really hold and circulate
totally.
The fullness of your love, so that I can be a vessel that overflows more of this, you know, onto the earth, because I believe that's essentially what we're here for. And something you and I both teach is, yeah, this concept of union, theosis, you know, really likeness too, through union with really becoming transformed into what one loves, like really allowing this process of love to work in our hearts so that we can become more of the embodiment of love on this earth. And I don't know if there's anything you want to share about that, Natalie, or yeah, continuing kind of how to even start holding like the bigness and vastness of the love. And then, you know, what that love then does, like what gets to happen as we're more and more and more rooted in that. And I know you've been talking about, yeah, more grounded in purpose and like more rooted in this safety and security and like more open for so many blessings and miracles to come in. But yeah, I'm just loving from your personal experience kind of that process for you.
Yeah, it's like at some point, it's like we got to stop the dance. We got to stop the back and forth. At some point, it's like we're no longer like baby devotees, you know? And like at some point, we actually hurt ourselves to participate in that back and forth dance. And so for me, you know, I was like, oh, this is cute. Like at some point, like I'm just gonna like stay in the new age and stay in this pretending that I'm not powerful and that I'm incapable. Because at some point I was choosing that pretending that I'm not chosen. And what ended up happening was like I paid the price for that. It's like here there is this gift of beloved identity, of the love of Christ, and I was touching it, turning my back on it, touching it, turning my back on it. And when I would turn my back on it, I would end up with the wrong men. I would end up in friendships with people that I knew I shouldn't be involved with. I would, you know, my body, I would burn myself out in the name of earning consciousness. And then I'd get all flared up and sick and like not able to do what I want to do. And like, you know, God put a word on my heart that I'm meant to teach what I teach now. And like, I wanted to teach the sexy stuff, like the new agey, like this was a couple years ago. And so, you know, then I wouldn't feel fulfilled or like I'd attract like really difficult clients. And it's like, at some point I was paying the price of turning my back on God. And I was totally buying into like the other way is the way. And, but there's a part of me that always knew. So I can't remember your question, but, yeah, for me, it's just like, at some point I had to accept the gift that, you know, God has a promise for my life. Like I am chosen as a beloved daughter of God, and that his love is enough for me. His love is enough for me to receive what I'm meant to receive in this life. And, my ego didn't like that, you know, like at some point, like I had to get real with that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like a, for me, yeah, it felt like that big holy humbling. Cause that part that was still in like the striving, the earning, the, oh, I'll go down this little sexy goddess, whatever path has been presented to me. It's like, yeah, it's like making me feel like I'm in control somehow and like right, holding the power and like, yeah, just that very self-sourcing kind of energy. And then when we come and turn to God, it's at first for me, it was like this holy humbling of like realizing I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do this on my own. And why wouldn't I choose to co-create with the creator of limitless possibilities instead of my own like limited perspectives and thinking? Like, why would I not choose that? And it was kind of like I laughed at myself when I had that moment of like, why have I continued to turn from that? Like, what did I think I could do better? Like, it's just hilarious.
Or for me, it's like, I guess that my ego or my human self wanted to like be able to get my violin out and be like, there was a time I was on the struggle bus and I earned what I have now. Like this, all of this that I have, it's because of me.
Exactly.
And my effort and my devotion and all this stuff. And
yeah. And we stay in that loop. And I feel like, yeah, that's kind of where we both were in the new age, even just like that perpetuation of more healing, another layer, another shadow, another this, another that. And like, for me, I was like, there's really no clear direction of where I'm going. And I knew in my heart of hearts, in the deepest place in my body, I was like, I think that this is actually all so simple and I'm just really making this very complicated, you know? And we've talked about this a lot now. It's like, gosh, when we come back into true communion, relational union with God, things actually become really simplified.
Mm-hmm. Our ego does not like that.
No, it doesn't, because it wants to stay in all the loops and stay busy and restless and frantic and let me stay over here creating all my things. And then when we come back to God, there's like, for me, and I think for you now, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, there was then, yeah, this posture of rest, a deeper stillness, a spaciousness, a peace, just this like anchor of truth. Mm. And in that truth, love. And just like the simplicity of then what love does in us and how it works in us and then it works through us in such a beautifully expansive way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything that's coming up for you on that? Because yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah, I mean, I was a recovering little hustler over here. I mean, I made a little decision when I was young that, well, I'm going to become successful like my dad, which that's a really big statement. Like, yeah. So I just started like hustling and like putting myself out there in the realms of like the fashion industry, probably at age like 13 or 14. And while all the kids my age were like playing soccer and cheerleading, I was like promoting myself as a model and like working towards that, like diet, exercise, like working on learning makeup, learning fashion, whatever, like styling. And yeah, that ended up paying off, but that was in my nervous system. That was like coded in me from years and years and years of just like grinding. And I was probably running from my pain as well, but I mean, I don't regret it because it gave me something to work towards other than, just partying at such a young age. But yeah, like my system, then I moved to New York at like 19. So my nervous system was just like, go, 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 go. And in 2020, I had my experience with Christ that was sober. I like learned to read the Akashic records, which I now know God led me to that just to have this experience because right after I stopped. But yeah, I had this experience with Christ where he revealed to me like my life's purpose. So I stopped drinking, I stopped modeling, which was really big for me. And then all that was left was like me facing my nervous system and like all the things underneath the rug.
Yeah, totally.
So anyways, it just took years of me like learning to rest. And it wasn't until I learned to rest in the arms of God that I felt like I could actually rest, that I could actually feel safe doing the least and trusting that I would still receive and be led and that my life would continue going if I fully let go and rested. So yeah, similar to you, it's like I love like feminine restoration because it literally has the word rest in it.
Totally.
Like no, I'm not trying to embody my feminine. Like no, I'm trying to
Yeah.
rest.
Yeah. And totally. Because it's like, and it's really from rest, the fullness of our feminine expands. It's like
Totally.
she doesn't thrive in, yeah, the restlessness, the hyper independence, all the controlling, all of, the things that are really birthed from that consciousness of separation. And, something, yeah, I've said this a lot on the podcast, and this is something that our pastor Damon Thompson teaches is, and it was a profound revelation for me is, God is always there, but you really can only be fully pierced and penetrated by him in rest. He doesn't meet you in your restlessness, because then if you receive the miracle and the blessing and his full presence there, you'll think, oh, that's the way. So I'll stay perpetuating this loop of my anxiety and of my doing and of my achieving versus, yeah, like you said, not really learning how to soften, how to open, how to rest, how to receive, like really coming into that state, which is, a whole initiation for women. It was for myself. And I would love to hear, yeah, some even advice for women that are like, I'm trying to come back into rest, and like, how do I let my body do that? And what does that actually look like? Because I think a lot of women hear the word, hear the frequency, but they still get, yeah, really entangled with like the how, which, the feminine really is in a process of figuring out the how. It's really coming back into this being and remembrance. But yeah, like how did you support your body in really coming back into this state of safety, of rest, of security, of trust that truly God always provides, and he provides best when we are rested?
Yeah, I mean, I like to start off the conversation of rest, but especially for women that are, still working with that like programming of like more is more, that rest can start out as like an internal posturing. So we don't have to like totally change our outside lives in, if you begin to internally rest, the outside will shift. So starting with the internal is actually, the place to begin. But for me, and the way I teach it, it's like a internal descent. So I don't work with like descension from like the outside and like tracking your cycle or like I've seen other practitioners teach it with like with cycle tracking and stuff like that. Like, that's
That's
not
interesting.
really, yeah. I teach it more like an energetic descent where we're literally like pulling down all that mental energy down into like the pelvic bowl and like really kind of awakening the energy in the pelvic bowl and the womb. And from that place, it's like we start to become like tethered to our center of gravity. So a lot of us that are restless are off of our center of gravity. And then we start to feel things like being off center and like being up in the mind and like go, go, go. And what's interesting is that once we start like embodying that internal posture of rest, and of course the outside might shift as a result of that. But what I've found in my personal practice is that I can actually handle a lot more.
Totally.
And I know when I'm like, when I'm pushing myself too hard, and then I can start to like slow things down. But like, yeah, it's like the way that we start to move through the doing is from this internal posture of rest that, like we start to become like feminine through the actual doing. So we can't like embody our feminine from like learning all these strategies and like concepts. It's got to be like this internal rested posturing, and then we can move through life from our feminine.
Yes. Yeah, this is why I know it's always so hard to put it in words or try to explain because it's such a felt, embodied, like you said, not internal descent process. Like, yeah, mine feels very similar. It was just like really coming down into the body and really learning how to resource my body and really even just ask. In the beginning, for me, and I still do this every day, just asking my body truly, how do you feel and what do you need? And just like really honoring what she was actually speaking to me. Cause if she was like, I'm tired, I don't want to write that email. Okay, so how deeply can I honor that? And something I'm always witnessing in myself is, because obviously this isn't now you're just like a passive, woman that's just leaning back, waiting for God to do all the heavy lifting for you. Like it's not that at all, but it's like, yeah, having this wholly renewed posture in yourself so that you're just constantly like really checking in, who am I being inside of the doing? And like, because I can still be rested inside of whatever God has called me to do. And really, I always think of it as like he's the divine doer, and I'm just like the beer, like letting that
Yes,
frequency
I love
move
that.
through me. It's like, I know it's always hard for me to describe this, but it's like such a felt thing. So it's almost like he's moving through me, and I'm just like here, in the joy and in peace and rest and delight, like just being. Yeah, obedient to whatever he is wanting to move through. But I think too, it's like my orientation of knowing it's like he's the one really doing also took a big pressure and weight off of me to not again stay in that self-sourcing of like, I need to do what I need to do, all these things. It's like, okay, great. In God's beautiful timing, like he'll show me how each of these things will be orchestrated and I get to do them from a place of peace and rest in my system,
Totally. I've actually moved through periods of like stuckness, like physical stuckness, of being like almost kind of in the state of freeze. And yeah, I've had moments of like allowing myself to go through that and just be in the nothingness, especially last year when I went through that big breakup. Like I was pretty like frozen. But there again, it's like relationship with God. And well, first it's like actually descending into that frozenness. So allowing myself to have that experience. And then there again, it's like God, receiving God through my feminine body was started to take me on a deeper journey, a deeper descent journey of restoration, so that then he started moving through me. He started moving me forward. And yeah, I just want to share, it's like we get to live like we have a promise, and not from a place of like Tony Robbins, like put it on your vision board and like just visualize it every day and you'll become it. But I mean, Yeah, I mean, how would you kind of say that? Like, for me, it feels like I receive God so deeply in my heart and my womb that it's almost like he calls me forward into like who he's called me to be, which is what I call like God's promises on my life.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love how you worded that because yeah, for me, it's like, yeah, really just being so organically anchored to that gnosis of beloved identity that it's like, yeah, in that I know my inherent worth and wholeness and that I am cherished and chosen. And as I just am in that posture of, even worship, which to me is just supernatural exchange of presence, it's literally just being like, so consumed and filled and captivated by God's love that it's like I can't help but just be in praise and thanksgiving and gratitude for his greatness and goodness and glory. And like, as I'm in that, he's like simultaneously pouring down his love, like his grace, his fullness, his power, his beauty, his promise into my heart. And then it just naturally overflows. It just like moves me, right? It's just like, yeah, it's almost like he gives me a vision and then he asks me to play in the vision and really just rejoice, before whatever's even come.
I
It's
love
like,
that.
right? It's like just tr like trust because I'm so faithful. Like I always say a lot to women, and I feel you know this so deeply too, Natalie. Like I've realized in my own walk with God, it's not resting in my own faith, but it's really relying upon his faithfulness. It's knowing like how devoted and faithful he is, and knowing like what his vows are to me, and then simultaneously cultivating my personal vows to him of who I am as a woman of his kingdom and a steward, for his love on this earth,
I love that. Yeah, like I feel like that's kind of like the nuance between even like really beautiful self-development, even like stuff in the feminine arts and like the devotional space. It's like this subtle shift of like we don't have to trust more, we don't have to have more faith. It's like we get to rest in God's faithfulness, in God's goodness.
Yeah.
That was such a shift for me too, and something I still could do even deeper, like rely
Same.
on even deeper. But
Same.
one of the things that has always stayed with me is like our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard just how good it can get for us.
Yes.
And that, even that just like little saying has been able to like kind of be a North Star in some of my deep, like darkest moments, like that breakup last year. Like it really, just that little statement, that scripture, just like was able to like pull me forward.
Yeah, and I want to get into this piece because, yeah, I feel, and I'm speaking more to the spirit of religion right now. I feel like the spirit of religion gets so stuck in what we're saved from, and just like, right, that paradigm still of separation. I'm just a shameful sinner saved by grace, get my seat in heaven. It's like a very limited, like limited perspective and consciousness, in my opinion, versus I feel Christ and God have always been calling us to focus more on what we're saved for, which is like the glory and goodness of the kingdom, like to be in the fullness of his promise, to recognize and realize like, wow, how good it can really get. And like this, I have like a inheritance to this treasure that God has gifted me. And it's just me remembering that this treasure exists, like, and that I'm the treasure in his hand, just spinning in his love. And I would love, because Natalie, I've seen you go through just holy expansion over the last year. Yeah, from like a massive heartbreak, breakup into, beautiful like transformation in your business, like such beautiful devotional, expansive service to now meeting, you know, this incredible man, this beautiful beloved that God has blessed you with. Like, I've just seen you, like, quite literally, like, beauty birth from the ashes, just this wild transformation in such a short amount of time. And I want you to speak more to this of, like, yeah, how that essentially became catalyzed. Like, I think I know, like, because you've really just been in the fullness of trusting God's promise and really, and I think this is an edge for women, sitting in the declaration of how good it can get. And I can actually ask for what I desire. And I can actually sit in the bigness and ask for more and ask to be expanded by God's frequency of more for me and really be blessed, you know, in this vision that he's placed on my heart. So yeah, I would love for you to share any of that, because I feel this is kind of the next edge that our relationship takes us into.
Totally. Yeah. And like, some, for me, you know, pretty much all my life, I mean, it's not, I don't want to make it sound like I never experienced love and like I was just on the struggle bus 100% of the time, but my nervous system was just so programmed to, I receive something good and then it gets taken away from me, or like something painful happens to me, even in the realms of even just dating. So, yeah, just a little bit about me. Like, I have been ghosted by maybe not every boyfriend, but like every other boyfriend since the age of 14. So my nervous system was just so programmed for like loss. And so for me to like fully rest in the goodness of God was a really big deal for me. And it's something that, you know, I'm still deprogramming and resting in to this day. So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, it's just rainbows and butterflies, but I will say in the past couple of years, I had to really give myself to the realness of everything I've experienced. You know, like I couldn't go from like point A to point B without like fully descending into the honesty of those like pathways and programs in my nervous system. And there was times where it felt like I was mourning or in a death portal through the descent. And then there was some times where I started to harness more pleasure and peace and ease and rest through descending. So my descent process was like, was kind of like a full spectrum experience. And my system kind of got calibrated to hold more ease and pleasure and joy. And yeah, like it wasn't easy though. Like last year around May, I thought I built my business to a really good place. Looking back, it wasn't sustainable, but it was good enough for me then. Like I was proud of what I had then. And this man I was living with for like 10 months, but we were together for almost 18 months. I was in Scotland and he just totally ghosted me. And I came back from Scotland and his bags were packed and he just totally left. Like we didn't have a discussion or anything. He wasn't in a space to like have that discussion, even though I really wanted it. So my business crumbled again in 2022. I let my business crumble and then it crumbled again in last May. And I just fully let myself like die to everything like once again. And it was pretty intense. And I want to say that the reason I've been able, and maybe this answer will change in 6 months, but right now it feels like the reason I've been able to rise so what some people would consider quickly is because I was like straddling the descent and the death while also staying deeply tethered to the promises that God has on my life. And it wasn't coming from like my faith, like Nina said, like we were just saying, like it wasn't by like my doing or me like manifesting or forcing my trust or trying to like arrive to trust. Something just clicked into where I was like, this is like, I have to choose this. Otherwise, like I'm choosing lower self or I'm choosing like pain body. Like my life literally relies on me choosing that God has a promise for me. And I think we have to get to that point where it's like, I have to actually choose this. I can't afford to do this dance where I'm like touching God's love, then going back to my old ways or touching God's love and believing I'm a victim and believing I'm not capable. It's like at some point we really have to choose our cherishedness, our beloved identity. And that was last year was that moment for me. So, yeah, I really feel like I've been able to like, quote unquote, rise from the ashes because like I didn't give myself another choice point, but to do so. And not because I think I'm so great, but because like, I was just so tired of running from God. It's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's exhausting and depleting. And it is, it's a brave choice to choose victory over victimhood. Like this is a big threshold for a lot of women to really begin to release the stories of the past and let God write a new story and really trust that he's always using your story for his glory. And like, I remember this moment in myself for me, like in 2017 to 2019, and a big part of it, like you said, Natalie, it wasn't bypassing the pain. It wasn't, you know, suppressing what was happening. It was like going all the way down and in and simultaneously holding the holy grief and the anger, the uncertainty, you know, all of the things that naturally would come up when a big shakeup happens in life and holding just as fiercely God's promise and really relying upon his faithfulness and really coming into this declaration of I am, you know, a holy and chosen daughter. And what does it look like to really be in the reclamation of how chosen I am? Like I remember the visceral experience of this. Yeah, for me, it was, yeah, those few years ago when I was going through the hardest time of my own life. And it was big because it illuminates all of the things that we've been carrying. And then what God lovingly purifies and cleanses and releases us from. But it's like that trust, that faith, that, and I feel, Natalie, why, and I know I've reflected this too many times, like you were able to alchemize things in what I would say a more quantum rate, accelerated rate, because you weren't afraid to die, but you also trusted in the resurrection that came from that. It was the both and. It's like already done and not yet. Like holding both at the same time. Like I already know who I am and I'm growing into that woman because I'm in the declaration of really recognizing that woman God's called me to be.
Yeah, it was like this place of like will of God be done, you know, like I'm willing to die. And also I'm willing to accept the quote unquote challenge of rising into who God wants me to be.
Yes.
And yeah, I have something written here and it's like, we've got to move like we have a promise. We've got to live like we have a promise. We have to trust like we have a promise. We have to rest like we have a promise. Like if we really believed how chosen we are and loved we are, like how would we move through the world? Like how would we deal with breakup? How would we deal with losing it all? And that's what that experience kind of brought me into. It's like, if I really believed in the goodness of God, how would I move through this death process? And if I really believed in the power of God, how would I show up even in the midst of not knowing what the next few months have in store for me, you know?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I can just like feel the power and potency of the women listening, like really sitting in this like, woo. Yeah. What do I get to declare and remember and root into and choose? And yeah, I love what you just shared, Natalie. Like if I knew the promise was always going to prevail, how do I choose to walk, to breathe, to move, to meet myself right now? You know, what does that look like? And Natalie, maybe like I feel like we're going into so many beautiful places right now. This has like already been so rich and so nourishing and just full of jewels, but I would love to share or have you share if you're open. Yeah, kind of like in the recent, like the gifts and like really widening to receive the beautiful man that God has gifted you through you trusting in his promise. And yeah, any of that process that you want to share, speak on, because I know a lot of women here in, yeah, the process of really trusting, you know, that God has a king for them, that they are designed to be in not only this beautiful internal union with God, but also a gorgeous external union with a beloved. And I feel many women are at that threshold of really trusting in that promise. Yeah.
I at some point I just stopped thinking that I needed to do more work to receive him. I stopped poking and prodding at my stuff. I started declaring, like, may I see myself as God sees me. And something dropped in, like probably like 90 days before meeting him. Like God was like, stop praying for me to fix you. Like, stop it. Stop praying for me to make you this like perfected devotional woman. Like, just stop. Cut it out. You need to pray for your man. And so I just started praying for him. I had no idea like when or where I'd meet this man. I just prayed that God would make him ready for a woman like me, that like God would protect him spiritually, emotionally, financially, that whoever this man was, that he would be held in the arms and love of God. And it turns out he was my neighbor.
I know, I love the synchronicity of that. Like, he lives right next door.
Yeah, he's like a 3-minute walk from me, but oh man. I just remember the first time I saw him, like he was just so shiny, like kind of had like this golden aura about him. And we were both very much processing two horrible breakups when I moved into the apartment complex. But all of that to say, for women that are desiring, because I feel like I could go into like the how we met, and I don't want to take this podcast in a left turn. But as far as like for women desiring union, to me, it's like becoming so like saturated and drenched in the love of God and like the love we are in God, that it doesn't even feel like he's missing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. This is exactly where I was right before I met Will.
Yeah, it's like, what if we just became so full from this union with God that like the man is just a addition, you know? And that's how it feels, is like my system got so like repatterned into beloved identity that like Brandon has just been this great addition, and I'm able to like relate to him from beloved identity versus like me trying to get love. And yeah, it's just like a whole different kind of relating. And like even like the preparatory phase was very much like one-on-one time with God, day in and day out, and learning to like retemplate my system to really live from that place of union with God.
Yeah, oh, I love everything that you brought in around this because, yeah, this is truly it. It's really deepening into and developing that really strong inner union and finding that fullness and satiation and satisfaction in him first. And just, yeah, that was how Will felt for me. He was just like a beautiful addition to what I was already experiencing with God. And I was, yeah, for the very first time with Will, you know, I feel like I was able to meet a man in my wholeness, you know, just in the true gnosis of my worth and belonging first in God, so that I wasn't in that kind of seeking or grasping energy. It was like, oh, I'm already full, and I just get to overflow, you know, what I have to offer to this man. And again, like same Natalie, I feel like this is such a great just invitation for women. Like instead of really thinking of, okay, what has to change in me and what do I need to fix and heal before I meet the man? It's like, God's like, I'm doing all that work, honey. Like, don't even worry. Like I'm already doing all this for you. You focus on, you know, pray over this man, pray over this man and his deepening in me. Like I was saying, in speaking many of the same prayers that you were for your man, you know, to Will. I didn't know Will yet, but I was like writing and sharing that prayer. And then, yeah, when we met each other, it was just like, wow, two whole beings, imperfect, but whole, coming together to really just amplify God's love, you know, essentially. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Like it almost feels like when we come together, it's like a celebration of love. And
yes.
My other relationships were so rooted in like, my purpose is to be a wife, or this man is my purpose, or like to have this man's children is my purpose. And that, like that place of like, I need something outside of me to fulfill my purpose was so draining for me. And the relationship, it was a lot of pressure on my ex. And it's like when our purpose is simply to remember how loved we are as beloveds of God, and then relating from that place, it's so different.
I know, it's so different. And it's like, you don't even know it till you're in it. It's such a different texture in it. And I think too, and maybe you feel the same now, I feel like, I was for the first time being with Will, I just felt, really safe, really stabilized. And some of that, yes, was his presence and already the safety and stability he embodied in himself. But it was really coming from that deeper place of me knowing how held I was by God. So I wasn't in that like shakiness, wobbliness, insecure place. It was just like, no matter what, God's promise will prevail. So I can rest in that promise and just enjoy the experience of getting to know this beautiful man and trusting whatever God wants to move through the relationship, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I used to struggle with like being controlling and
Me too.
thinking the worst. Like if my exes were like out with friends and like women, I would like think the worst. And like I wouldn't be able to rest until like my ex, you know, I say ex, but it was plural, multiple exes would like get home and like check in with me. And now, like, because I'm so drenched in beloved identity, imperfectly, but still enough, like I literally don't check in with Brandon. Like he can do whatever he wants, like whenever he wants. And I'm like unshakable. Like I like literally, it's not that I don't care, but it feels like I don't care.
Yeah.
Because like I trust him, but ultimately I trust God.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's just like a whole different, it's like apples to oranges.
Yeah. So different. Oh yeah. I love that we were able to bring this piece in, because I just know so many women in the fields are in this place at this threshold, like really starting to feel and embody and be embraced by this. And I just feel those little jewels. We're here to really serve many of the women listening. And Natalie, gosh, I mean, we could talk for literally
I know.
hours. Natalie and I can go into a lot of dimensions, but for the sake of containment and time, we'll start moving our groundedness here. But Nat, I would love to hear, is there anything else alive on your heart? Anything else that feels called to come forward to share? Any other pieces that you want to bring in?
Yeah, just that piece, what we were saying at the beginning, like there's nothing that can come between God's promises and you, but the choice, you know, essentially there's nothing that can come between God's promises and you, but you, you know? And so it's like a both, and it's like God can move mountains for us and reveal his love to us and reveal his power to us. But we've also got to choose it. We've also got to choose seeing ourselves as God sees us. And you know, it's a process, so be gentle with yourself, but Yeah, that's really, if you're listening to this podcast, I really feel like that's what all of us are being called into, myself included.
Same. Yeah, same. It's truly like a daily remembrance that nothing can separate us from God's love, except for our own self-condemnation and disqualification, essentially. And that's something I'm like always reminding myself. I'm just like, okay, where can we let God's word prevail over your word a little bit more fully when you're in, of course, sometimes that human shakiness and insecurity. It happens. It's not wrong. It's not bad. And really, those moments for me, and I think for all of us, are just an opportunity to be immersed again in God's truth and His love. It's just an opportunity to engage more fully again with Him and really let His word prevail over the word that you might be speaking about yourself. And this is it's a big process. It's a big process for so many women to, entangle their own projections and beliefs about themselves onto how God must feel about them. And that's a journey Natalie and I do very closely with women. That's why we're devoted to the work that we do, so that women can really reclaim this rightful relationship with God and remember the truth of what He actually believes and how He feels about you, which is that He loves you and cherishes you beyond measure, beyond what you can even fathom, in your mind. Yeah. Oh, so Natalie, so good. I'm always so filled by our
I
conversations.
know, same.
So amazing. I can't wait to share this one. And Natalie, I would love for you to share, yeah, just where the women listening can connect with you, where they can find you, what you have alive and open in your fields, what will be coming alive in the future.
Yeah, you can find me on her.feminine.roots on Instagram. And then I have a podcast called the Energy Medicine Podcast. It's only on Spotify. And yeah, I have two women's groups called Satiated and Anointed, and I'm running them back to back. So depending on when you listen to this, there might be an opportunity for you to join. And yeah, I'm always collaborating with women like Nina, so you'll probably see me in some of her spaces as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Natalie and I like to do a lot of cross collaboration and pollination, and it's so, yeah, just so beautiful. And I'll have all of Natalie's information linked below, her Instagram, her podcast, that you can find her and connect with her. And of course, if you, yeah, received, revelation, or you have any reflections that you want to share, don't hesitate to reach out to us. I always love receiving all of your hearts, and to hear how these conversations have impacted you. And Natalie, I'm just so grateful for you, not only for this conversation and all the wisdom that you brought in, but just for your friendship, your sisterhood, being a woman who walks so closely to Christ and being a woman who really illuminates the light of God through her eyes and really, blesses me with that reflection, and really permission to shine my luminosity even more fully. So I just really love and cherish you, and I'm so grateful and thankful that God has connected us in this lifetime to walk together.
Thank you, Nina. I wouldn't be the woman I am today without walking alongside you. You've changed my life. I love you.
I love you so much, Nat. Same, sister. So, I just pray that every woman listening is blessed with beautiful sisterhood and women that they can walk beside as well. And yeah, just thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time on the podcast.